everybody, and welcome to episode 362 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Kuznets, and today I'm switching things up by talking about the Nintendo Switch some more. But this time, for the first time of all the episodes I've talked about the Switch, I've never owned one, I've never touched one, I've never played with one for even a single second. But that all changes right now, because I've played with one, because I own one. And yeah, I have a few things to talk about. I don't own any games for it just yet, but I have played The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, as well as the Snipperclips and Puyo Puyo Tetris demos. I believe the Tetris one just came out, but I'll talk about those shortly. Before all that, I just want to hit a few things. The Star Wars The Last Jedi teaser came out yesterday, I believe. I'm recording this on Saturday. Forgetting what day it is. But I realized, not something I didn't already know, so I didn't really realize it, but I just kind of accepted the fact that I, while wanting to be a Star Wars fan, while wanting to like Star Wars, I just don't really care for it, and it doesn't feel like the overlords at Disney and those behind the new movie are doing anything to try and bring in new people to the humongous Star Wars fan base, because based on social interactions, not interactions, but the response to the trailer on various social platforms, people love the teaser. They just ate that up and they were just blown away by it. I, on the other hand, thought it was just kind of boring and more of the same. I watched it and I didn't watch it again. That's telling, in that I had no desire to rewatch it, because upon my first viewing, I was just like, oh, so just more of the same old Star Wars shit. Nothing new, nothing special, nothing to try and draw me in. I'm just like, oh, this is all pretty much expected, with some horribly cheesy dialogue that I don't care about, that doesn't do anything for me, but it gets other people excited. The very beginning, when she's like, okay, what do you gotta do? What do you see? She's like, I see light, darkness, the balance. I'm like, are you serious? This is okay. I'm sure Star Wars fans are like, oh my god, yes, it's the Force. She's talking about the Force. And I'm just like, okay, I know about the Force. I know about the light and the darkness and the balance between the balance of the Force, blah, 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 whoop-de-doo. And then it ends with Luke Skywalker saying, whatever, this has got to be end of the Jedi or whatever. I'm like, oh, sure it does. People are like, oh my god, what does that mean? Does that mean the Jedi are going to, like, that's just going to be the plot of the movie. Is it really going to kill off all the Jedi and the Jedi are going to be no more? Of course not, because what is Star Wars without Jedi moving forward? It's still something, but I don't think fans are going to be as excited about a universe where Jedi no longer exist for good. You know, there's some cool visuals in it, but that's never been a problem with Star Wars. I really thought, and I don't remember if I talked about it on the podcast, but I just saw Rogue One, and I thought Rogue One was incredibly boring. And it reminded me a lot of Suicide Squad, just more well put together and more competent and not actively bad anywhere. It was just incredibly boring and really slow, and I didn't enjoy any of the characters that much. The robot, the android, he's fine, but not that special. Wasn't to the same. I thought he was going to be as fun and enjoyable and weird, you know, with the dark humor and all that stuff, as, I can't remember, like HK-47 or whatever the robot was from KOTOR, android, whatever. I don't want to offend people with using the wrong word, the wrong terminology. But it was just really, really boring. But it had some incredible visuals in it. But it also didn't feel like a Star Wars movie to me that much, coming from someone who is not a huge Star Wars fan. And I didn't think that was going to be a bad thing, because I'm not a huge Star Wars fan and I don't mind them changing things up. But it just felt like this weird, okay movie, average movie, that, you know, occasionally had really iconic Star Wars imagery in it that probably really made Star Wars fans just go apeshit over it. Though I think I remember it being somewhat divisive, so I don't think it was across the board for Star Wars fans and people in general, but I was incredibly bored by it. And I've talked to some people who are Star Wars super fans who didn't really care for Rogue One, but I also know those who were, who did love it. But the teaser didn't do anything for me. I was like, whatever. I didn't see anything new. I don't even know if there was any new characters shown in it. There was no showing of Captain Phantasm or whatever her name is. The Game of Thrones lady who was barely in the first and just kind of like teased. Oh, and like sort of made a big deal of that she was going to be a significant part of The Force Awakens. And then she was barely in it and just was kind of a pussy ass bitch in it when she was. She didn't do anything. She was never that threatening. Or like, I was just like, man, you created this character who seems to be super powerful, or just, you know, is in the higher ups rank wise and is menacing, is this, you know, imposing force. She's very tall. And then she doesn't seem to really do anything. She just, you know, maybe talks sternly a few times, but then Chewbacca just destroys her. Just like, whatever. But she wasn't in it. So I, you know, and of course it's just a teaser. People are like were like attacking me for being upset that it didn't show me anything because it was just a teaser. Well, you know what? A teaser is supposed to get me excited. That's the point of a teaser. Ideally, I should not want to watch another trailer after watching a teaser, a good teaser. A teaser should be like, you know, here's a little taste to get you excited, and now you're not going to want to watch any more footage because you're going to want to hold off until you see the movie. But that wasn't the case. I did not care for it at all. And I'm not sure if this is in play with it, but the Thor Ragnarok trailer came out a few days prior, and that trailer is just amazing. And the thing about that, too, is, you know, I'm not a huge Star Wars fan, so I was hoping that the Last Jedi teaser would get me excited for it, especially since I really like Rian Johnson. And I just looked at that trailer, I'm like, why did you get Rian Johnson? This just looks like your typical standard Star Wars crap. Where is his stamp on it? Hopefully it's in the actual movie. You know, I think in most cases, or I don't know, directors don't have that much of an input in trailer cutting and everything. Or they do, I don't know. But either way, it just did not scream Rian Johnson for me. But the Thor Ragnarok trailer was incredible. And I am someone who, one, I thought the first movie was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it, and I don't feel like after all the movies that have come out, it has diminished, in my opinion. I still really enjoy it. I think it's fun. Of course, I'm not a huge Thor. I don't want to say I'm not a huge Thor fan, but I wasn't that aware of him. I never really read Thor comics when I was growing up. It wasn't one of the superheroes on my radar. I was much more aware, or just paid attention, followed Iron Man, who wasn't huge until he got his movie. That said, I hated Dark World. That is one of the worst Marvel movies as far as I'm concerned. It's probably in the bottom three. No, it's definitely in the bottom three. I'm not sure what the third worst would be, but it would be that, Thor Dark World, then The Incredible Hulk. And I'm not even sure which one I'd put at the worst. But then it's a struggle between stuff like Iron Man 2 and Age of Ultron, which a lot of people liked. I really, really don't like Age of Ultron. I really, really don't like it. But yeah, Thor Ragnarok trailer was amazing. Great song for it. It had somewhat of a Guardians vibe to it, but it also had its own unique feel to it and just felt very different from everything else. And I'm so happy that they got Taika Waititi to direct it, which was such a surprise when I first heard it was happening, because it's just such a weird choice for a director, given his previous work, you know, doing some episodes of Flight of the Conchords, Eagle vs. Shark, What We Do in the Shadows, Most recently, Hunt for the Wilder People. All great movies. I don't remember loving Eagle versus Shark, but I kind of want to rewatch it again because I love Flight of the Conchords, which he directed like 4 or 5 episodes. And I adore Hunt for the Wilder People and What We Do in the Shadows. So I'm super excited that he's doing it. And yeah, it looks great. That it has a amazing, like, it just has this great buildup and a lot of great visuals in it. And then when you get to the very end and Thor's reaction to seeing Hulk in their little space coliseum was the feeling that I think most people had watching the trailer, just like, yes, this is awesome. And also Jeff Goldblum is just full Jeff Goldblum. It's wonderful. But yeah, I want to get that out of the way. And also before just I hit the switch and all that jazz, still playing a lot of Persona 5. I'm 43-ish hours into it. I'm 40 plus hours into it. I've completed the fourth palace somewhat recently, just waiting for, you know, the days to play out until the deadline so I can see the story progress and then move on to the fifth palace. Really liking it. Oh, yeah, I'm so tired from talking about the Star Wars. yeah, Persona 5 is still a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying it. It's more Persona. I appreciate some of the differences they did with the crafting of Personas and the way you can create new ones and power up your current ones by sacrificing other ones and sacrificing them to create items. And all that jazz. I think, though, as much as I'm enjoying it, because it is just more Persona, story-wise, character-wise, I think I'd put it in the bottom compared to, of the three, like, current taking of Persona, that being Persona 3, 4, and now 5. I just haven't grown that attached to all the characters. They're very similar in ways to all the previous characters. They kind of have these archetypes that they just go back to in all the games and just change things a bit, whether it's their background growing up. But you have your typical ones. I'm not a fan of Ryuji. He's just annoying. But that's what he is. He sort of reminds me of, I think it was Kanji from Persona 4, who was a problematic character in terms of sexuality and things. But that's kind of just Japan. But Persona 5, still really good. So much style dripping from it, sometimes too much style. It's a really big game. Like I said, I'm 40 plus hours into it. I think I'm maybe halfway through it. And I'm playing on the easiest difficulty because I just want to get the story this first go around. So if I was playing on a harder difficulty and had to spend more time in the dungeons and go into them more and think about the battles a bit more, it'd probably be, you know, 10 plus hours on top of that. Maybe, you know, I'm being somewhat, and I'd probably grind more in the Mementos area. So yeah, I'd probably say maybe 10 plus hours would be on top of what I have right now.
I'm so yawny. What am I doing so yawny? It's not even that early anymore.
But yeah, I'm still enjoying it. I don't know. I still think the English voice acting is solid. I just think the pronunciation things are a bit weird. I just don't like the story, I guess. This whole thievery thing, it's not grabbing me in the same way that the sort of murder mystery of the fourth game did. And I'm struggling to remember exactly what was happening in the third game story-wise, the overarching story. I remember the shadows were taking over thing. I remember fighting the one on the train in the very beginning, and I'm trying to remember what the big, like, problem was happening, because it's been so long since I played it. I really want to play it again, which I might do, because I have a 60 gig backwards compatible PS3. And I could use that. And I have Persona 3. I should do that. No, I shouldn't. Because I don't have the time to do that. Because there's so many other games I've never played. Why am I going to play another 100-hour game? Anyway, Persona 5, solid game. Not, it's a great game. It is a great game if you have a PS4 and you want something that's going to take up so much of your time, especially if you're just a quote-unquote normal person who works regular hours and, you know, plays a game a few hours every day, if even that. Persona 5 is going to last you a month, if not more, depending on your situation. And there's reasons to go back and play it again. If you play through it again, you get to keep your social stats, so all the things you've built up, your knowledge and all that. Don't have to worry about that in your second playthrough, so you can just focus on relationships with everyone. And, you know, I think you keep your weapons and stuff, so it'll be, I guess, a somewhat more of a breeze in the very beginning. And I do think you maybe keep your persona, dictionary, compendium, whatever it's called. But let's get to what we all want to hear me talk about, right? I was going to say Persona 5. I'm like, I just talked about that. What is wrong with me? The Nintendo Switch. So I'm going to start with my thoughts on the hardware. I'll grab it right now. So I think just the feel of it as a handheld with the Joy-Con controllers attached to the tablet feels much better than I thought it would. I think using it as a controller feels pretty good. It is a little, it feels different and unfamiliar, foreign, where the right analog stick is, because it's in this middle space, and it just is a little bit weird at times when moving the camera around or something, because you have to slightly adjust. Maybe it won't be as bad for people with smaller hands. But overall, in my little bit of time with it, actually playing games, feels really good. The look of the Neon controllers is fantastic. I love it. I knew I was going to like it, but in person, they are just so pretty, especially that red one is really, really beautiful. The kickstand is really just a micro SD cover. That's the way I look at it. The sound that comes out of it is fine. Buttons and everything is solid. It hasn't, in my experience, gotten really hot, just in handheld use. And I have not tried it on a TV. I have not even hooked up the dock. Don't know if I ever will. I would definitely have to get another AC adapter if I ever wanted to use the dock, because for me, it's more of a portable device. Or even if I'm at home, something I would just rather play in bed, or just, I have no desire to hook this up to a TV, even if I had that extra AC adapter. So I can't comment on what that's like. I did put the Joy-Con controllers in the grip that came with it, the comfort grip. That felt better than I thought it would feel, but I didn't try actually playing anything with it that way. So, you know, in actual use, don't know how that'll feel. Screen looks good. And the thing that I like about it most, battery life has seemed to be okay. I know I still have issues with it, but in actual use, you probably won't spend that much time playing it in handheld mode if you're going out or something or whatever, to the point where it's going to die in a day. I'm just thinking about actual usage in terms of, are you going to go somewhere and then wherever you went, you're going to sit and play your Switch for 3 hours? Like, what are you doing? So yeah, that hasn't been too much of a problem. And more importantly, in terms of battery life, it definitely is more close to the Vita than the 3DS. And I guess it would be because there's no Street Pass in that. When in standby mode, when it's just in sleep mode, the battery drain is very, very tiny, which is great. Because with the 3DS, you have that thing at a full charge. A few days, even if you don't use it, it's going to be blinking red. Which is always a problem. But even with, and I have not turned Wi-Fi off or put it in airplane mode, and the battery has stayed fine in sleepy mode. UI, it's clean and sparse, but it's also really sparse and just feels a little bit empty and not quite finished. And I think the store, the eShop, really needs some sprucing up and expanding in terms of just being able to find things in more categories. And just there are things that have fallen off the new release pages or the hot releases or whatever that you can only find. And I think if you search, I don't even know if there's a way to search just to browse via letter or not. But yeah, it's solid. Mine didn't come warped, which is nice. There were no dead pixels on it, which was even better. That was my biggest concern. I was so paranoid that I was going to get a dead pixel and I was going to be unable to ignore it, because I still can't ignore the one on my TV, the single dead pixel. And dead pixels are horrible. And, you know, there's no way to maybe, whether it was a dead pixel or a, I forget the other one, but like, you know, there's no YouTube or anything on there where you can get one of those videos to try and bring it back to life. But I think that's pretty much it hardware wise. I do think I actually am going to want to get a case for it at some point, just when thrown in a bag, because I thought, you know, I'll just get a screen protector for the first time for any device. And I got one and I tried putting it on and it was a nightmare. And I was like, this is why I don't use screen protectors. And then I returned that to Amazon, the two used garbage screen protectors, which are highly rated on Amazon. I forget which ones they were, but they were glass ones. And it was a nightmare. And I was like, oh, God, I hate this. So case at some point, but I just want something really simple to like keep it from scratching. I don't need anything with a bunch of storage for carts or crap like that. I hate those kind of cases. I don't need a bulky case, even if it's just like a really slight slip bag, like a little tiny microfiber bag. But yeah, so moving on to the games. I played a little bit of a friend's copy of Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. You know, put their card in my thing. Played it for a few hours, and that game is pretty good. I don't know what settings have been added since the few patches, but I immediately changed the jump to B instead of X, so it's the bottom button. And that feels a lot better for me, at least. And I don't know if that was always there. It looks really nice, runs really well. I haven't experienced any slowdown so far. I've only been in the first area. In my little time with it, I just got the paraglider and figured out who the dickbag old man was. He was just really pissing me off so friggin' much. But the time I played with it, I really, really liked it. I can't say, oh, it's the greatest game of all time after those few hours with it, but it's a lot of fun, and it does remind me a lot of like the original Zelda, which is a great thing. And I love the freedom you are given, and the ability to climb anything is great. And I wish that was in every game that has climbing, because when you're given the ability to climb, it's nice to have the freedom to climb wherever you want, as opposed to just being able to climb across these very specific points. It's probably worse in games like Uncharted, where it's just like, okay, you can't climb pretty much anywhere unless it's these specific climbing sections to move from an area to another area, which would have just been fine as a cutscene. But, you know, we feel like if you are controlling it, you're going to feel super cool. Or Assassin's Creed, or just like, okay, we've built everything so there are things sticking out for you to grab on, and only those things you can grab on. And of course, we're going to have all these columns where you're going to have to keep going around the side and just going around and around and around, because we didn't build these, the architects, in a way that you could just climb straight up, because that would make it too simple and would not be fun or exciting. So we're just going to make you have to slow down your momentum and then, you know, jostle a little bit to the side, get across that little corner, and then go up a little bit more, and then do it again and again. So that freedom is nice. There are things that are annoying, there are things that I can learn. But with cooking, just the way you go into your inventory and then select the stuff you want to use, and then you throw it in a pot. And I just wish I could be like, I want to make this thing immediately again, just throw in another collection of those things. Don't make me go back in the menu. And I saw that with finished meals, you can see the recipe, and maybe that would be able to auto-select the items in that recipe. But even that, I just want to, after throwing it in the pot and cooking a meal, I want to be able to throw the same crap in the pot again. I don't want to have to go into my inventory at all, even if there's a shortcut to be had with the recipe when looking at a finished meal. Still, I don't care. Just throw it in the pot again. But it's fun. It's fun. Action is solid. The animation, physics, and all that is fantastic. I'm excited to play more whenever I end up getting a copy for myself. And then I played the Snipperclips and Puyo Puyo Tetris demo. I'll talk about Snipperclips first, because I just played a little bit of that, and I didn't really like it. It seems like maybe it would be fun for people who have a friend who's really into puzzle games, and they are, and want to play it together, but playing it by myself, it just didn't seem that special, or it just lost a bit of the charm that would probably exist from just kind of messing it with each other and working together. I only played the tutorial area and then the first two levels, and I didn't even know what the hell to do in the second area. I was like, there are three balloons in here. One's got a picture of a pig on it, and then another one has some other thing on it. What do you want me to do with these balloons? I don't really care anyway. So that was a bit of a disappointment. Then I played Puyo Puyo Tetris, which I don't know if it's actually out yet or not, but demo is available, and that's fun. It's Puyo Puyo and Tetris, and I realized that I like Tetris a lot more than Puyo Puyo, and also Puyo Puyo is something that seems very familiar, but I don't feel like I've ever played Puyo Puyo, because the name just doesn't seem super familiar, but the gameplay does, and I don't know if it's because it was in, like, a game collection at some point, like some six-pack, like I'm remembering the six-pack for Sega Genesis that came with, I think, Revenge of Shinobi and a few other games, but it also had Columns on it, and I don't remember playing Columns in any way other than in that six-pack. I don't remember owning an individual copy of Columns or playing it anywhere else, not in the arcades or anything. But and Puyo Puyo is like sort of Mario, Dr. Mario-esque, in that you have these two ball blob things that are connected and you can rotate them. They can have two colors or just one color, and you need to collect two of them together. Four of them together for them to disappear. And of course, Tetris, you have your blocks and you want to create lines to make those disappear. And you can play. The only modes I had in the demo were, I think, a versus one. And then there were some like split screen ones you could do with another person, which I didn't do. But the versus mode, you could play against someone. Like you could do Tetris versus Tetris, or Tetris versus Puyo, or Puyo versus Puyo, which is kind of cool. And you could play up against three other AI people, and I'm assuming up against three other human players if you had three other online or locally. I guess you could do it on the same screen, but I would definitely do that in TV docked mode. But it's fun. I don't know how much is in the actual package, if it's $30 fun. If it was $20, I'd probably be much more inclined to pick it up, you know, and have this fun little puzzle game with me. But $30, I think, is the digital price, and then $40, I think, is the retail, the physical box price. But that seems like a bit much. Snipperclips, $20. I don't know how much is in there, and it didn't do much for me, so that's, you know, I'm not interested in that at all. But yeah, my little bit of time with the Switch, I like it. I think Zelda is fantastic from what I've played so far. Puyo Puyo Tetris is a fun, solid puzzle game that there's a lot more in it than the demo gives you to play with. Since I've only played it in handheld mode, I don't know if my Joy-Cons have that desyncing problem. I should test that out in some way, just so if it is, I can get that fixed. And also, my Wi-Fi hasn't had any problems. I've been able to download everything really quick. It's way better than anything like the 3DS was awful, and DS, all the handhelds were awful, and I don't remember the Wii U being that great, but I don't remember it being that bad either, because I just never really played much of it. Anything else? No, it feels good. It was smaller than I was expecting when I actually saw it in person, but it's a solid size, and it looks really nice, and I mean, compared to the Vita, it's substantially bigger, and it feels... My mouth is so dry. I'm going to take a sip of this, and you're going to listen to it and hate it. I don't think you heard anything, and I didn't really drink much, so it's not going to help me for much longer. Anyways, this is the end. Did I say... Look, I'm so flustered from the dry mouth that I think I said anyways, and that's one of my pet peeves. It's anyway. There's no S on the end. But it feels really good, and it's probably, there are issues with, like, you know, on the Joy-Con controllers, the little knobs that lock in are plastic as opposed to metal, so those could, you know, at some point break off for everyone or just be really loose, but just in terms of the way it feels and the hardware itself, the actual tablet and all that, maybe the best handheld I've ever played with. Though, you know, the big thing about it is that it's a handheld you can play on the TV, or it's a console thing you can play on the go. The way I look at it, it's just a handheld that I could play on the TV if I wanted to, which I'm never going to want to do. But it feels really good, and my biggest problem with it right now is just the pricing of games, the pricing of peripherals, like I said in the very beginning. And the lack of content. There are a lot of Neo Geo things, which I might pick up one of those. I might pick up Metal Slug or something. But the lack of actual Nintendo Virtual Console, NES, SNES games is really disappointing that that's still not there. Hopefully it gets there sooner than later, because I'm playing it. When I was playing, I'm like, this would be the just absolute perfect Virtual Console device. If they start releasing, if they finally put the Virtual Console in there soon and release stuff like fairly often, I would rebuy these games a whole bunch of times, because this would be the perfect, like, if they put on Earthbound, I will buy that in a heartbeat and finally play that game and just enjoy the hell out of my time with it, hopefully. But it just is like the perfect handheld device. Battery life is the one key issue, and of course, like, certain engineering choices with, like, the Joy-Con and the metal stuff and whatever, blah, 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 blah. Or the plastic screen, which I guess that's more probably because they're like, oh, kids will play this, and I think a plastic screen was less inclined to crack and stuff like that, but it's more inclined to scratch. I don't know. But that will do it for today's episode. I hope you all enjoyed it. And look forward to hearing me talk about the Switch more in the future, now owning one, so you won't hear me talk about it without actually having used it and all that jazz. So be excited about that. I, once again, am your host, Mark Huznez. Y'all can find me on the Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, my anime list, Steam, and all the usual places, at PX Sausage. On PSN, I'm TheKush3. My friend code for the Switch is I have no idea. I see a button in the settings that says re-authorize or whatever, get a new friend code or some crap like that. But I'm like, I don't know what my one is right now, so why would I do that? Or do I have to do that first? I don't know. It's not telling me anything. But yeah, the site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, the other podcasts we host and produce, like Pixelated Radio and the Pixelated Paranormal Podcast. And if you like all those podcasts, you can go over to iTunes and check them all out, or you can even go to Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Player FM, SoundCloud, all the usual places. And if you haven't already, it would be greatly appreciated if you went to iTunes for all the shows, this one first and foremost, and rated, reviewed, and subscribed to them, because that really does help them stay up in the rankings and gets them in the eyes of people who have not watched them. And of course, you can tell your friends about them too, because that does help as well. And if you go to the site, You'll also see the art I do, which if you like, you can check it all out over at pxsart.com, which will give you links to where you can buy prints and all that jazz. And if you'd just like to support the site and everything we do in general, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs and become a patron of Pixelated Sausage there. Yeah, spend a buck a month, whatever. And just say, hey, Pixelated Sausage, I like you. I like you. Okay. Ah, good show. Good show. It's okay. But yeah, I hope everyone has had a wonderful weekend so far, is enjoying the weather. If it's lovely in your area as well, it's very, very nice here in Chicago. So yeah, I will talk to y'all again tomorrow on what? Another episode of Pixelated Radio, the new every other weekend day, which is tomorrow. Because of Corey's change of schedule. So get excited for that. There's also, unless Sean screws things up, there should be a new Pixelated Paranormal posted tomorrow morning as well. So get excited for that. Ooh, things are getting crazy. Yeah, that'll do it. Bye!